Okay. Let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you so much for your love. Lord, I thank you that when you look at us, Father, you see our potential. Lord, you don't see all of our mistakes. And I thank you that you're a God that teaches us and walks with us. And I thank you, Lord, that what you say trumps what the enemy says or people have said to us, Lord, in the past. And so come and speak. Father, pray for each one here that you would just wake us up, God, and give us the upgrade so we can understand our identity. And I ask for value to be restored. Thank you for bringing each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, we talked, just a quick little recap. We talked about, this is what the Lord says. There were some different scriptures in Isaiah that we looked at, and we saw over and over again, this is what the Lord says. And we talked a little bit about, I shared just how I got my identity in the wrong things. And I think my problem was common, and is common, because it's real easy as we go along in life. For me, I had gotten my identity as a daughter. My parents lived here. My dad was a successful businessman, and my mom, real active in church, both of my parents. We can get our identity, good or bad, in our parents, in our jobs, in our accomplishments, in negative circumstances like abuse, mistakes we've made. And if we're not careful, we can let those things define us. And so we talked a little bit about just this is what the Lord says. And there will be some things out there. Is there something? Is that on or something? There will be some pages out there, if you missed last week's lesson, in an article that you can pick up. We talked about erasing some of the lies that we can believe from other people. And so tonight, I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony about how God showed me I had gotten my identity in the wrong things. And really what he showed me is he said, I had sold my business, and I was like, oh my word, who am I? Because everybody knew me in town as Kathleen Maxwell, gymnastics, etc. And then I got my identity in being a wife and a mother. And one day the Lord just showed me, he said, those things can be gone. Your business, you sold your name. Your kids are going to grow up and leave home. And he said, there are no guarantees. So who are you going to be if those things, you know, if that happens? And so it began a fabulous journey as I just said, Lord, show me who I am. And I almost felt dumb because here I was, a woman in my mid-30s, and I didn't have a clue who I was. One day I was reading in Psalm, and we touched on this briefly, but Psalms 8. Psalms is in the middle of the Bible. And let's go to Psalms, verse chapter 8. And we're going to look in verse 3 through 5. It says, when I consider the heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which have been set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You have made him a little lower than heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. In the morning that I read that, and I read it again, and I read it again, and what stood out to me was that I had been given a crown of glory and honor. And as I just pondered that, it was like I heard the Lord say, I've given you a crown, Kathleen, but you don't wear it. And I thought about that. And I said, Lord, I don't. You're right. I don't wear my crown, and I don't carry myself all the time. And I'm going to tell you, I'm still on a journey. I'm not going to tell you that all the time I remember my crown. It's all about practicing. And I can tell you I've gotten better than I used to be at understanding and seeing myself as the Lord sees me. And the word glory right there says, I've crowned you with glory. And I looked that up to see what the meaning was. And it means weighty, rich, valuable. Do you know that God has given you a crown that says you're valuable? You are a man or a woman of great value. And at the time that this happened, and I was doing the math today, it was in the late 90s, and I had sold my business. We had moved to Bastrop for about 18 months, and we came back, and I thought, well, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, I'll substitute teach, because I know kids. My business had been with kids of all ages. And I was substituting for a fifth grade class the morning that I read this. And that day, I thought, all right, Lord, I want to see things like you see them, and I want to practice wearing my crown. And that day, as I'm leading kids to art and music and the lunchroom, nobody knew it. But in my mind, it was like I took the Lord's hand and I pretended I had a crown on my head. And I'm telling you, that changed the way I saw myself. It changed the way I held myself. All of a sudden, my head was up a little higher. My shoulders were back. And I saw myself, I began to see myself as a woman of value, that He had crowned me with glory and with honor. He says, you're a woman of value. And the next scripture that I found that I saw was in, let's look at 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. And in my Bible, I have a little crown, handwritten crown drawn, because these were just things that stood out to me as the Lord was erasing the lies I had believed about myself. He said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's a new day. And what the Lord was showing me was that I'd been chosen. He called me royalty. And I'm not trying to be cheesy, folks. This is really what it says here. When we have a relationship with Jesus, He's the King of Kings, and we're His people. We're His sons and His daughters. And so that gives us a birthright as sons and daughters, a royal priesthood. Now, do we all act royal? Do we all do everything right? No, we don't. No, we don't. But the Lord is good, and He's kind, and He comes along, and He says, yes, but I want to help you. I want to help you overcome that. That whatever that is, that addiction, that thing that trips you up, I want to help you. He calls us His royal priesthood, a people that belong. How many of you have ever been in circumstances where you felt, I just don't feel like I belong? Yeah, I was in one this week. I was like, what am I doing? And I had to just stop for a second and rethink about the way I was looking at it. Lord, show me, because this is what I feel. And here's the truth. Our feelings can lie to us. Our feelings can lie to us. The scripture goes on and says, God says, you're now a people, Once you were not, you didn't have mercy, but the Lord has given us his mercy. And we can receive it or not. Do you know that his mercy is a gift? His kindness is a gift. And just as, you know, if somebody walked up here and handed me a present, I could set that present down and never open it and never get any benefit, or I could open it and use it. And this is what the Lord is saying. I've given you a crown. I call you a royal people. And understanding how God saw me began to change my thinking. And it began to show me I was his daughter. That made me somebody. Not my accomplishments, not being a mother, not being a wife. That doesn't make you somebody. You are a son and daughter of the King of Kings. And here's the truth. Our actions follow our thinking. Have you ever seen someone walking and their head is down and their shoulders are slumped? I always have to wonder, oh my goodness, what are they thinking? Because God sees them someone of value. And our actions follow our thinking. So if you're getting actions and behavior that you don't like, ask God to adjust your thinking. Ask him to bring him into alignment with how he sees you and what he says. Next scripture that I found was Psalm 103. Let's go back to the Psalms. Psalm 103. And we're going to start in verse 2. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, not some, all your sins, and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction or from the pit, and crowns you," there's the word again, "crowns you with love and compassion, and who satisfies your desire with good things." And again, when I saw that, it was like the Lord said, "I've given you a crown, Kathleen. It's a crown because I love you. It's a crown because I have compassion on you." Do you know that the Lord has compassion on you? And I know some of you are in some tough situations. You know, my mom had a rare autoimmune disease, and I was her primary, I oversaw her care for 9 years. And in the middle of that, the Lord showed me over and over how he had compassion on me. It was hard. Caregiving is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. Cassie's here and she works in hospice and some of her people. It's not for the faint of heart, but God knows right where you're at. And for some of you tonight, he wants you to know, as you turn to him and as you draw on his strength, he will help you. He will help you. But he crowns us with love, and he crowns us with his compassion. And he wants us to wear that crown. So I want you to just think for a minute. Have you been wearing your crown that the Lord has given you with compassion and love? For me, as the Lord began to show me these different scriptures, I had to have reminders. And I remember putting a little sticky note by my phone at work. And it just said, "Remember your crown." And so sometimes when I got those phone calls, and I would think, just a second, let me give you a piece of my mind. And I would look at that little sticky note, "Remember your crown." Okay, Lord, if you've given me love and compassion, I need to be able to give that to other people. I need to be able to serve that. As your servant, I need to be able to serve that to those that are around me. And one of the primary ways we can serve is in our families. That should be one of the first places. I had to put sticky notes there. I also put one in my car. Now, I probably needed that more because I'm a let's get there fast. And But I had to retrain my thinking about myself. And so I put these little sticky notes different places that said, remember your crown. Because I wanted to remember what God said about me and how he wanted me to conduct my life. And there are still times when I remember not, months ago, I was going into something at work. And I knew that it wasn't an easy situation. And as I said, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to help me. And he said, just remember your crown. And I'm telling you, that reframed the way I thought about myself. It gave me a confidence to speak the truth in love. It helped me. God wants to be a part of your work. He sees what's going on. He wants to be a part of your retirement. He wants to be a part of our everyday life. And he's right there. He's waiting for us to turn to him. So whatever, I want to just encourage you and challenge you this week, whatever you have to do to remind yourself, to remember who you are, to remember your crown, whether that's a reminder on your phone or a sticky note or an index card, whatever will help you. I want to raise our awareness that he's given us a crown, and we can either put it on and wear it or not. Or not. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. Let's see what else God has to say about who we are. Deuteronomy's at the front of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's in the Old Testament. Chapter 7, verse 6 says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Do you know that you're God's treasured possession? He looks at you and it's something that's very, very dear to him. And I didn't see myself as somebody that was very dear to him. Last week I shared how I had some self-hate. I didn't like the way God made me. I thought he'd made a mistake. And the Lord wanted to raise my awareness so that I could see myself the way he saw me. He sees you as a treasured possession. His treasured possession. Let's go now to Deuteronomy 14. And we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. It says, you are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourself or shave the front of your heads for the dead, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. That's how God looks at you. And you know, the first part of that verse, it says, do not cut yourself. In my years in social work and just in ministering to people through the years, there's a phenomenon right now among young people, more so, of cutting themselves. And when you really look at that, it's really rooted in self-hate. And when I've gotten the opportunity to talk to people that have had that issue and that problem, it's rooted in they don't understand who they are. They don't understand and like themselves. They don't understand how God made them a treasured possession. And when I've been able to visit and unravel some of those lies, it's amazing how the countenance can change as they reframe and retrain their thinking. He calls you his treasured possession. Let's go to Romans 9 and verse 19 and 20. Romans is in the New Testament. And let's see. One more page over. It says, one of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who resists his will? But who are you, O man? Who are you, Kathleen, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Now that's exactly what I did. I was like, God, why did you make me with my personality and my looks? I didn't like either one of those. Let's keep going on here. It says, does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? God has a unique call on all of our lives. And what's important is that we discover who we are in Christ, and we do the things that God wants us to do. And for me, he has given me a voice. He has made me to be bold. Now, when I was young, I stepped on people, and I try a lot not to do on that, but I was just a little bit, I was a bold little girl. I was also a little girl that was overweight and had to wear corrective shoes. So there wasn't any, I grew up with a mindset of not liking myself. And so for me, my journey was the Lord erasing all that. And he said, yes, Kathleen, I've given you a voice. There's things I want you to do. There are people I want you to touch that maybe nobody else might have the boldness to go and reach out to them. But you got to do it in my love. You got to do it with your crown of compassion and love. And some of you, God has made you. You have such hearts to serve and give, and the Lord wants you to flourish in that. We're made differently. And different's not wrong, it's just different. And so for each of us, it's discovering our God-given talents, how he made us, so that we can partner with him to do the things that he wants us to do. And there are people in your sphere. You have a sphere of influence. There are people that God wants to use you to reach out and be his arms of love and compassion. He wants to use each and every one of you in your homes and in our community. So this scripture was really, when I read that, I was like, oh my goodness. It was like God was reading my mail. Why did you know, who are you to say to God, why did you make me like this? I was like, guilty, guilty. And when we find that we have not done what the Bible says, all we have to do is repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. And the Lord is right there to say, yes, I forgive that. Now get back up and let's walk again. Let's try it again. I was here today at the Croc, and I was doing I did a class that I don't normally do because I drove in from Uvalde. And in this class, there were some new, it was a boot camp, and so everybody else are young, you know, and here I am, the senior citizen of the group. And so I'm trying these things that they were doing, and the first time it was like, I can only imagine what this looks like, you know, as I'm trying to balance and do some of the moves that they were doing. But after I repeated it and did it a little bit more and did it, I finally began to get it. And that's the way it is with the scripture. That's the way it is with the Word of God. He just wants us to keep practicing. And when we mess up, get back up and try again. And I promise you, you're going to begin to make progress. Some of you have been beating yourself up, and God doesn't want you to do that anymore. He says, no, that's not me. That's the enemy trying to squish you and put you down. Did you make a mistake? Yes. Are you a mistake? No. We can make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that we are a mistake unless we let those things and mistakes define us. And here's the truth. Who are we to tell God, by the way, I think you made junk? You know, I mean, really, it's kind of comical. I'm sure I make the Lord chuckle. But he wants us to agree with him, and he calls us his treasured possession. Let's look now at Isaiah 42. Isaiah is right past Psalms. And Isaiah 42, verse 1. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight." Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. And I know in those long days of caregiving that I experienced, there were times I thought, I'm not going to make it. I just don't think I have the strength. I have the ability. I was trying to balance being a wife, a mother, my job, all of these things. And when I came across this scripture, he said, "You're my servant. I am going to uphold you. You're my chosen one, and I delight in you." You know, there are going to be people that just don't like some of the things you do. How many of you have had people not like some of the things you do? And that's hard sometimes. That's really hard sometimes. But God says right here, "I chose you and I delight in you." Isn't that neat that we have somebody we can run to that delights in us? You know, my grandbabies, I have five now, and I have three of those that can run to me. And, you know, when I show up, it's like they're delighted that I'm there because Max always comes with a gift, but I'm delighted to see them. You know, they just make me smile. They just make me smile, seeing their zeal, seeing their joy for life. And that's how God looks at us. That's how he looks at you, my chosen one in whom I delight. We must see ourselves as God sees us. Isaiah 51, verse 11. If you don't know this, Isaiah is one of my favorite books. I just seem to find so many nuggets here. And they're just, my Bible is all marked up because when God shows me something, I have, you know, this is a promise. And I have 2:12-13. Let's see what it says in Isaiah 51. Actually, this one says 3:6-15. It says, "And they will... the ransom of the Lord will return, and they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." And I also have that marked back in the days. I was widowed at 49, and I didn't think I would ever quit crying. It was very challenging a time. And the Lord, it was like he showed me, "I've given you a crown of joy." And I was like, well, these situations don't seem, they're not joyous. It's not easy reinventing yourself after you've lost your mate of 30 years. But I could find my joy in that God was with me. I could find my joy in that he loved me. I could find my joy in that he was right there upholding me, and I was still chosen and loved by him. Every day wasn't joyous, but I could find my joy in God. So I want to encourage you, if you're in a real tough place right now, take that crown. He gives you a crown of joy. And he promised the sorrow and sighing would flee away. And the rest of the story is I was widowed for 3 years, and I journeyed on down, and I did remarry. It will be 6 years, the end of October, and I made the man that I married, I made him go out with all these people here that are the leadership. He had to go out on a date with them, and I got their perspective. And So that's the rest of the story. Is God, there are times in life that are just hard. There are seasons that are just hard. But God is with us. And if you're in one of those right now, and in whatever you're in, you know, for us right now, we're dealing with my father-in-law and my husband's stepmother. And one has Parkinson's and one has Alzheimer's. And it's hard right now. It's just hard because we're having to be the parents. And that's not easy. But God's with us, and He's walking with us, and He wants to help us. And He's given us a crown of joy. You know, I wasn't the only one. I began to see in Scripture that there were other people in the Bible that didn't see themselves the way God sees them. Gideon, any of you have ever heard the story of Gideon? He was over there hiding under a bush. And when God saw him, He calls him out in Judges 6, verse 11. Let's see. Judges 6, verse 11. He's over there hiding. And I love this. God just speaks to him right the way He sees him. And he said, he appeared to Gideon and he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." God called him a mighty warrior. And I love how God called him up while he's over there hiding under a bush. How many of you have ever been hiding under a bush? You know, I'm just going to pretend I'm invisible. And the Lord wants to raise us up. He wants to raise us up. Moses was the same way in the Bible. And yet God called him to lead his people to the promised land. So here's something very important that I encourage you to take away. Never let the negative perception of you govern you. Never let the negative perception you have, if there's something negative that is your perception, or maybe somebody's telling you something negative. Anybody have any negative people in their life? Just okay. But we can never let the negative perception of others govern us. Because if we do, when we believe a lie, we empower the liar. I'm going to say that again. When we believe a lie, we empower the liar. So God's taken His big eraser and He's wanting to erase the lies that you've believed about yourself, the lies that people said over you when you were a little boy or a little girl, and the lies that people said yesterday. There's some of you that need to evict the negative thinking because we empower the liar. And we talked last week about how Satan's job description is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll do that in any way, in any fashion that he can to get you to believe a lie about yourself. Understanding how God feels about you and how you feel about Him are the two most important things in life. It is the source of our identity and our security. When we understand how God sees us and that He's given us a crown and that we're a royal people and that we're a treasured possession, that gives us something to hang on to in the winds and storms of life. And I didn't grow up thinking, even though I grew up in church, I didn't grow up thinking that God really loved me. And that's a whole nother message. I understood and I had read it. I had a lot of head knowledge, but I didn't have the heart knowledge. And I think for so many people, we can be rich in memorizing and quoting and filling in the blanks. But how are we in? Is it really working deep in our hearts? Do we really believe it? And I'll never forget the night that my late husband and I were teaching a Bible study, and it was talking about the love of God. And if you had a issue with trust, it was because you really didn't understand God's great love for you. And here we were teaching, and when we finished, We turned, there were two of us that partnered together, and I remember looking and I just said, I just want to confess this before you guys, because I really realize I haven't trusted God in my life. Now, I had been a Christian for over 20 years at that point. And I said, I can believe that God loves other people, but I didn't really believe that I was his treasured possession and that deep down I was of value and loved. Now, I'm being honest. I'm just laying it out there. That was the truth. And God took me up on that. That there was something about me verbalizing that to our other co-partners that began to set me free. And in the times of crisis, that's what you can hang on to. And there were more crises that I had yet to encounter at that time. And I'm so glad God started rearranging that in my life in my 30s and 40s. Because little did I know what was on down the road. You can't help others see their value and worth until you see your own value. And this isn't just about you. This is about your children, about your grandchildren, about those in your life. People, we've got to wake up to how God sees us. We've got to remember our crown as sons and daughters of the King, because we have people in our lives. We've got grandbabies. We've got children that need. And as we understand our identity, then we can help them see theirs. And we can help take God's big eraser and erase the lies. Proverbs 31 verse 25. Proverbs is right after Psalms. This talks about a virtuous woman. And I want you to hear, especially for Proverbs 31. It's talking about a virtuous woman. It says she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. Are you laughing at the days to come? When we take the strength and when we take the dignity that God gives us, there's a trust that we can have that even though the waves may be tossing back and forth, when we have that strength and dignity, then we can laugh. We can look at the future with hope and say, yeah, I know it's kind of crazy right now. Yeah, I know this is happening, that's happening. But we can laugh at the days to come. I can't figure out everything. In the situation that my husband's telling me about, as I'm driving here and he was at work, he wasn't able to be here tonight. We have to go back. I said, okay, honey, let's talk about this when I finish tonight. He goes, yeah, I know you've got this. Because I needed to reframe my thinking. All right, Lord, how do you look at this situation? How are we? What does this look like for us? What is our next step? How do we need to handle it? Lord, what do you have to say? And we constantly have to be going to the Lord and asking for his perspective so that we can laugh at the days to come. Understanding our identity is so crucial. And a couple of years ago, I was doing a Bible study myself, and one of the things they began to say that was part of our assignment is developing identity statements. And I thought, an identity statement, what is that? And it's taking time to sit and listen. Lord, how do you see me? Sitting and listening. And then writing what God has to say. And I'm telling you, as I sat down to begin to do this, I was like, all right, Lord, I really want to hear what you have to say about me. And I've got these written. I've got them on my computer. And I pull these out when trying times come to remind myself who I am. And some of the things, my identity statements, and I want to challenge you to take time this week to sit with God and listen. Lord, how do you see me? He might speak to you through a scripture as you're reading some of the scriptures. He might speak to you through somebody else. And he might just drop something in your heart. But some of my identity statements, I am a woman of significance and influence, called to bring the supernatural power of God into broken lives. I'm a bold daughter of the King of Kings, establishing my Father's kingdom here on earth. I am overflowing with grace, gratitude, gentleness, humility, and love. Now, I'm not going to tell you I overflow with those every day, every hour. And I have to, but Lord, this is how you see me. And so I'm going to keep practicing. And when I fail, I'm going to repent and get back up. Because this, I know this is something that the Lord showed me about me. And there are times that he needs me to serve his gentleness, his gratitude, his grace, his humility, and his love. God has unique identity statements I think he wants to give each and every one of you. And so those are just a few of the ones, but I'm telling you, when I run into rough waters, I pull these out. Okay, Lord, what do you have to say? Because it's important that we seek and that we believe and that we practice. We practice and then we be. It's more important that something gets worked from the Word of God into the fabric of your life, because then you own it. Then you own it as you practice it, as you go about your day. So look at what God wants to speak to you, because you're his son, his daughter, you're dearly loved, and you're his much loved child. Do you know that 110 times the word beloved is mentioned, and it means much loved? God calls us his beloved. And he says that in Song of Solomon. He says that throughout the New Testament. Romans 1:7. Let's look at that real quick and see what God has to say. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, to all in Rome, I'm going to rephrase that, to all in the hill country who are loved by God and called to be saints. Who is loved by God and called to be saints? That's every one of us. Every hand should be up, because that's how God sees us. You're his much loved child. Do you know, when God showed me this, my nephew, I have a sister that's 15 and a half years younger than me. And so her kids are quite a bit. Mine are all grown and gone, but she's still raising kids. And she had my little nephew, Taylor, was 3 years old. And I was taking him for a day with Aunt Kathleen. And my son had a Jeep, and I said, I want to borrow your Jeep. And so I had Taylor in this Jeep and strapped in his car seat. And we're driving along, and we were going to McDonald's in the park, and we were just going to have a grand old day. And he's just back there singing, not a care in the world. And I thought about that, and I thought, it's because he feels loved. You know, the day was all about, it was all about him and loving him. And as I drove that Jeep, the Lord said, that's how I look at you, Kathleen. I want you to live as my much loved child. He said, you carry way too much on your shoulders. I want you to live as my much loved child, because you're my beloved. And so this scripture says that we're beloved of God and we're called to be saints. That's how God sees us. Isaiah 43, verse 4. Let's look in that before we close. It says, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. There it is again. You're precious. You are precious. And he honors us. He says, I honor you not because you do right, because you do wrong. I just honor you because you're mine. No matter what you've done wrong, no matter how much you've messed up, God still looks at you with affection. Did you know that? He still looks at you and calls you his beloved. I think it's time that we wake up to who God wants us to be, that we allow him to restore our dignity and value in those places where perhaps others have stolen our dignity and value, or we've believed a lie. You are precious, and you are honored, and you are loved. And I want to close with a statement by a man named Bill Johnson. And this is from a quote from his book. I think it's called The Supernatural Ways of Royalty. It says, "Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. And intimacy is my life source." I'm going to repeat that. Royalty is my identity. Is royalty your identity? If not, partner with God and let him reshape your thinking. Servanthood, serving and being who God called each of us to be, is our assignment. And our intimacy with a daddy God that loves us and calls us his much loved child is our life source. Folks, that's what you can really depend on, because there are no guarantees in life. And I want to close with a song that I played last week. Before I do, I'd like for the team to hand out the questions for next week. Again, no pressure, but these are questions for you to ponder, and also an article that goes along with what we talked about. So you should walk out of here with two pages. One's an article and one's questions. It should say lesson two. Maybe God spoke something very specific to your heart in one of the statements that I made. Write that down. You can toss the questions and write that down and let that work into the fabric of your life. I'd like for each of you to just close your eyes and just let the words of this song wash over you. By Lauren Daigle, and it's called You Say.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just a
Father, I thank you for your love. And I thank you, Father, that you want to touch each of us and restore our dignity. Lord, you want to fill us with an awareness of your love for us. Lord, you want us to see ourselves as a royal people, as saints. And so, Father, right now I ask that you come and you touch hearts and you change lives. And I just speak a blessing to each and everyone here tonight and to their families. Father, show them what their takeaway is and what you want them to do, Lord, in practicing. Father, I just look to you for the upgrade for all of us. And I just pray that each one will go out with joy and be led with peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week. If you need prayer, we'll have people over there to the side that'll be happy to pray with you.